You're listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping by. Usually I give you words of encouragement to living your health naturally, and I'll end my podcast that way, but there's too much else going on in the world that is censorship. I honestly don't watch the news, but I do get a lot on Telegram to know what the hell's going on, because you can't make this stuff up. I mean, a year ago, if we set this stuff up, even if I thought it would be like massive conspiracy, and now it's right in front of your face. So Human Rights Code in Canada, I'm so sorry, my Canadian friends, updated to reflect that the human rights do not apply to the unvaccinated. Unbelievable. That is unbelievable. It's sick. There's another video of them arresting this mom for who knows what.
Here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon.
I love it when you hear the parents or other people speaking up, but I think it's time that we keep people out of the institution that they call schools, because it's not schools anymore. And I wish I would have known that they were indoctrinating my own kids when my kids were in school, and definitely in college. I have one that's in college. She's not even the same. Let's see if I can get this to open. This is a nurse that was fired for refusing the vax. These things are going to get pulled, but it's being censored and deleted. It says you have to go to Rumble almost to watch the whole thing.
I believe in being honest. I believe in not lying to the press and hyping up the numbers to scare the general public into taking a vaccine that is brand new, that we don't know anything about. I don't think that it was right to coerce staff and to make it look like the hospital was overrun by COVID patients when that was simply not the truth. But my Facebook post had caused them to want to take me off the schedule. But the letter that they handed me, and officially they said I was being taken off the schedule because I was refusing to get the COVID shot.
There we go. There's another one. Let me go. These are all on my Telegram if you want to watch the videos. And then if you want to watch longer videos, you can go to those links in the Telegram to you know, watch more of it. What else was I going to share? You know what? He just constantly has people whistleblowing. So let's just listen to...
She says most everything the so-called media is feeding to the public is just blatant lies. And she's here with us now to tell the whole story. Kareem, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. What is going on inside the walls of that hospital?
The other day, I had a situation where I was at the nurse's station, and a nurse came out of a patient room, all flustered, sat down across from me. She had two nurses next to her. They were travel nurses, and our charge nurse on the other side of her. And she just started spewing. These are her words. I'm going to repeat what she said. I just came out of my patient's room. My patient is COVID positive. And that mother has not gotten a vaccination. He's unvaccinated. Why are we even spending time giving this guy a room? These who are unvaccinated need to go home and die. Why are we even giving them a room? When they're in the ER and they show up without a vaccine, they need to just go home and die. They're totally agreeing with this. And I've never seen such a major division in a hospital before in my entire life. It's now the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed.
So, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. That's just horrible. I feel the Australia, it's ridiculous. So I'm going to share this, what this guy said. I love the Australians, and I have friends in Australia. So I want you to hear this.
Hello, good day, and welcome. My name is Michael Manuel Chaves, and this is Mad Men's Conspiracies. This is unbelievable, guys. I've made videos before talking about cognitive dissonance and how people see information, you know, that the information's out there right in front of their eyes, but it completely goes over their heads. And we're at a stage now where they're talking about over 30,000 people dying within 21 days of the snake oil, right, on government-owned websites, right? We're talking about government-owned websites saying that 77% of COVID deaths, not of deaths, of COVID deaths, 77% are double jabbed. We're talking about the government sending everyone on their mobile phones messages every evening telling them that 10 times as many people or more have died this day than on the corresponding day last year. So we've got 10 times more people dying daily. We've got 77%, according to government, these are all government numbers, 77% are double jabbed. And there's another percentage of those dying that are single jabbed. We've got 30,000 deaths within 21 days of a jab. We got the government moving the goalposts, saying, "Oh yeah, but you're not classed as jabbed until it's X amount of days after, 14 days or whatever. If you're single jabbed, that's not counted as being jabbed." And we've got people, right? I heard a story about a paramedic this morning who posted on his Facebook page about the side effects that he's having for. From the booster shot, he had the booster shot, and unbelievable, you know, and he had the booster shot to protect his patients, to protect his family, to protect granny in the old folks home, and he's listing all these side effects and still urging people to go out and do it. And I'm like, what is the matter with you? We're already at a stage now where we've had 4 confirmed reports of children dying of the vaccine in the UK, and I'm like, how much cognitive dissonance are we going to allow to pass over these people's heads? If me and you are seeing it, right, me and you and everyone in the resistance, which now I do believe is a few million people, right, I believe there's a lot of us, right, but for the rest of them, how long is this shit going to go over their heads before they notice? You know, I said yesterday, I'm going to try my best to save my family, save my loved ones, but I mean, coming slightly off subject, but still talking about this madness, right? My mate messaged me yesterday telling me that there's a tanker in the petrol station on the corner. So I'm like, all right, let me drive my car up there, get some fuel. Well, literally, the tanker hadn't even unloaded and the fucking queue was 5 miles long. So, you know, I turned my car around and came straight back home again. I'm like, yeah, fuck off if I'm going to queue out there. Now, this is the same fucking cognitive dissonance that all these cunts are suffering. Because you know tomorrow when Boris says there's no toilet paper, these cunts will rush out and buy toilet paper. I'm hearing that there's already shortages in shops because people are panicked buying food because they can't get petrol, which means they can't go to Asda next Wednesday. So they're doing it all in one go and the shops are already ending up short of food. I'm like, you know, they talk about Third World War, right? They are playing us like a cheap fiddle, right? It's so ridiculous that they don't even actually have to do anything. All the government has to do is stop a few deliveries, make a few news articles, put it on all the mainstream media, and literally the fucking world ends, right? We're almost in October. And the world has come to a fucking end because of these cunts. And there's people dying at 10 times the rate they were last year. And these retarded people still don't want to see it. Guys, I'm fucking, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, guys. You know that. You know, there's no stopping. We're on a forward spiral now. We're going to be stood alongside the marathon on Sunday with all our yellow boards. People will probably read them and not even acknowledge the fact, you know, when they've all probably had family members that have died of supposedly COVID who have been double jabbed, or family members who were in remission with cancer. They've had the jab and then all of a sudden the cancer's come back way more aggressive and they've died within weeks. These stories are all true, guys, and this shit is really happening and these cunts don't want to see it. You know, I'm going to try my best, guys. I'm fighting for my family, like I told you, you know. And I'll carry on. I'll carry on because I don't believe, right, I do not believe that good loses to evil.
I'm going to end it right there. And we're going to listen to the Thrive Time show. He gets tons of views. And if you don't support him, I'm sure he does not on Podbean. He's probably been kicked off. But one doctor, I would have her as my doctor, Dr. Stella Emanuel, has a book coming out. Support her and get this book. But let's hear her talk. She's awesome. So this was just recently they did the tour Make America Great Again, and this is in Colorado. Just recently.
I think you're going to know who this person is because not only has she been fighting on the front lines with the frontline doctors, but her theme is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rule of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, Dr. Stella Emanuel, she has been an outspoken, Jesus-loving Christian frontline doctor who has treated over 35,000 patients. Let's give it up for Dr. Stella Emanuel.
Hello. Good morning. God bless every single one of you. I love you too. We love America. I'm so honored to be here. Just one or two little things that I brought. My book is out, Let America Live. It's a cry of my heart. It has a lot of information. All of the things that I've been talking about, it has this here. And at the end of the book, it has a 10-point plan to disciple America back to God. It has prayer points. It has even protocols for treatment. There are people that go across to Mexico to get medication and they don't know what to do. It has everything in it. Amen. So you got sci-fi, you got Jesus, you got prayer, you got hydroxychloroquine. So get a copy. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be outside signing it for you. I don't have too many copies here if you don't have enough. The second thing we brought is the Covivites. This is a blend that immune support blend we put together that has zinc, quercetin, vitamin D, and C. A lot of people usually order it on my website, but this time I thought I should bring a little bit. I don't have too much of it, but you can get it from here. Well, so let's get to it. I just want to thank God right now. Let's pray. I just take authority over any principality, power, ruler of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, any voice of the enemy that can try to jam the word that I'm going to speak in the name of Jesus. I pray that the veil of darkness will tear over the mind of everyone listening to the sound of my voice, all over the nations in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they will hear the voice of truth and the voice of the Holy Spirit, not the voice of the enemy, in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to pray that because I usually discuss deep stuff and I need people's minds to be open and the devil is not jamming it with all kinds of noise. And as a warrior, we take authority before we do that. All right. So I would say, America, number one, you don't have to get sick. Number two, you don't have to end up in the hospital. Hospitals have become jail cells of death. I say all the time, I say people are not dying in the hospital because They are vaccinated or unvaccinated. They are dying in the hospital because they are withholding treatment from them. So please do all in your power not to end up in the hospital. Because if you do, I can help you. I get texts, frantic calls from family members all over the country that we should help, help, help. We can't once you get into the hospital because, you know. Well, so how are you gonna do that? Number one, remember we're fighting an invisible battle. You come here, you get together, we scream, we shout and everything, but you don't want to walk out of here, you go home and you can't breathe. So that is why one of the things we advise is that get on prevention. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, you can get it on our website, drstellamd.com. We've been very, very busy for the past month, but we ramped up. We have, you know, we have right now, I think about 40 doctors. We're still looking for NPs and doctors. So if you've been fired from your job, get in touch. We might be able to give you a job. Or if you don't want to get corrupted genetically, get in touch. We've also been able to ramp up mom and pop pharmacies all over the nation. I think we have about 35 up right now, and about 50 more that we're trying to bring up to basically cut the middleman, cut the big pharma, and be able to raise up our mom and pop pharmacies that have been so down, a lot of them closed down. So if you have a mom and pop pharmacy or you know one, let them get in touch with us. You can reach us. You can reach us at 318-792-5972. The number is on my book. You can send us an email. So get in touch so that way you can be part of taking care of America. The winter is coming. It's going to be a carnage. We don't want a situation where you know what's going to happen. Right now, we just went through the Delta variant, you know, and they say there's Mu and Lambda coming. You know what I'm saying? So whether it's Mu, Lambda, Psi, Gamma, they are all sensitive to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. So get protected. Second thing, if you get sick, please, when you get that sniffle, and it's gonna happen in the winter, when you get that sniffle, don't just chalk it up to it's a cold, it's gonna go away. Because by the time you realize it's not gonna go away, it's gonna be too late for us to see you. By the time you realize it's not gonna go away, you're not gonna be able to breathe, the medications are not gonna be that effective. Important is prevention and early treatment. You know what I'm saying? So I just, every single one of you, there are people that say, I have faith, I don't have to take medicine, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I have faith, I believe in Jesus, but I'm also on hydroxychloroquine and I'm also on the vitamins because zinc is so important because zinc is what opens the zinc is so important because hydroxychloroquine opens the zinc channel, zinc goes into the cell, it kills the virus, it stops replication, even at later ages. So please, please, please make sure you stay safe. Remember when Hezekiah was sick, God told him to get fixed and put upon that boil. So it is okay, even if you're a Christian and you're supersonic saved, to take medicine. Right. Okay, so a few things. We know the depth of this battle that we're facing. I don't know why a lot of people know it. I write about it in my book. I write about all the revelations God gave me years and years to what we're dealing with right now, how we got here, and how we can fight our way out. And there's some such deep stuff in this book that when you finish, you're gonna just be ready to get on your face and start fighting the spiritual battle the way it is. There are four sets of people that are in the forefront of this craziness. Let me say, like the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals, the directors, there are four groups of people, individuals or other, that are in the forefront of the craziness that we're going on, that we're going through. The first people that are pushing this craziness is the no clue people. This is our family members, cousins that have got jabbed. Now that they've gotten jabbed, they think they know too much. They are too arrogant to even repent. You know what I'm saying? So they start pushing and running after. They don't have any information. We have doctors and nurses that are working in the hospitals that don't have a clue, and they are arrogant in their ignorance. And they will not take any information when you try to tell, oh, yeah, you're just your conspiracy theorists. And they listen to CNN and listen to mainstream media, or even if they don't, it's like there's a veil of darkness over their minds and they can't hear you. In those situations, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to break that veil. That is when you pray and ask for the Lord to take this, to break the veil over their minds. The second group of the people are what I call those that are fearful. The Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving have their place in the lake of fire. There are a lot of doctors that are so fearful that even when they get sick, they will call me to prescribe to them. They can't breathe. They are tracking me down. I was like, you have a license. You have a DEA number. Call the medication in for yourself. Oh, no, we can't do it. I don't want them to track me. I'm so scared. I'm terrified. There are a bunch of people that are scared and terrified to lose their jobs. They were terrified to lose their benefits. They just feel that, well, if we just comply, this will go away. But it's not going to go away. The third group of people are those that are rulers of darkness of this world. These are human beings that are in the occult. They are Luciferians. They are demonic. They are witches. They are Satanists. And some stupidness in their mind has made them think that they can liaison with the devil to come against other human beings. And they are seeking for power. Some of them are seeking for everlasting life. And like I say, if Bill Gates believes he's going to die in 20 years, why will he be doing all this craziness? He believes that he's going to die and they're going to clone him and then they're going to download his brain on the Internet of Things and they're going to put it back and he's going to live forever. That is a deception. I call them useful idiots. The devil doesn't have eternal life. He cannot give you what he doesn't have. He cannot give you what he doesn't have. And these are those that are pushing this agenda. I don't even know whether some of them have already been killed off and the clones are moving in or they are still human. I don't know. The last group of people or other, you can describe them in Daniel 2:42 when it says that in that day there was going to be a mingling of the seed. There's going to be a dose of iron mixed with clay. It talks about in Revelation 13 that the devil was going to deceive people and they will make images unto the beast, and you have strength to give power to that image to talk and speak and walk and look like you and I. Matthew 24:37 said that in the last days it was going to go be like in the days of Noah. These people, I tell you, brothers and sisters, they are not human. And because they are not human, they are violent, they are blood drinkers, and they need that to keep alive. That is why they push the most evil agenda. These are not human. They are here to corrupt humanity. They want all 7 billion people cheap. Why? They know about the marriage supper, where all of us as Christians, we meet with the Lord Jesus and we are one. The devil wants to corrupt all of humanity so that we can all program us on the Internet of Things and we can be one with the devil. But you know what? We know the end of the battle, because the Bible says in Revelation 18:21 that a boulder, an angel is going to bring a rock and it's going to crush them. The Bible says in the book of Daniel 22:44 that there's going to be a hand that will cut a rock out and it's going to crush the system. Do you understand? I'm saying we are going to win because Jesus is going to win. He's coming back. Hallelujah. But here is the issue. You and I, as the church, are the only authority that has been given power upon this earth to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the works of darkness, and nothing will hurt us. If we don't cry out like they did in the days of Nineveh, lay on our face and cry out and repent and ask for God to intervene, it's going to be revival or tribulation. Listen, saints, it's going to be revival or tribulation. If we don't cry out for revival, we're going to go through tribulation. Even if we go through revival, a lot of people, millions and millions, are going to get swept into the kingdom. So if we go through tribulation, people are not going to die and go to hell. The fourth horse of the apocalypse is death and hell in Revelation 6. If we don't rise up and pray and fight so that people can wake up and the veil is torn off their eyes, we're going to go through tribulation. Millions of people are going to die and go to hell. Hallelujah. So listen, all I'm saying for you and I, the last thing I'll say is this. Remember, It is you and I that have to bind on earth for God to bind in heaven. We got to loose on earth for God to loose in heaven. If we don't do anything, then we're going to not only go through tribulation, we're going to, in any way of it, about half of humanity is going to die. But they're going to die and go to hell if you and I don't cry out for revival so that people can come into the kingdom. So it is time for us to wake up. Hallelujah. It's time for us to wake up and pray and pray and pray for the kingdom of God to come down on earth. Hallelujah. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
All right, money.
All right. I love her. I love her so much. But I love, and I also think that we should listen to Lee Dunley. I think that we should be praying, and I think we should be getting into the battle. And you have to decide what it is and what you can do, especially if you're in Australia or if you're in New Zealand where you can't have arms. And they're going to try to do that to us. Guess what? Gun sales are on the rise here, and they're on the rise because we know we have a tyrannical government, tyrannical whatever, that is trying to do tyranny globally. So let's listen to Lee Dunness, if you've not heard her. And this is going to be a little longer just because I love her. Okay, so this is all from the Thrive Time. If you don't support them, and then the Make America Great Again tour.
I am so excited for this next speaker because she is such a fireball. And when you know, when you see her, she is teaching America and even internationally how to fight back against this corrupt legal system. She's a warrior. She's a fighter. She does human rights. She's a human rights attorney and a defender of freedom who successfully fought back against the mask mandates and the digital passports in Orange County. Let's give it up for Lee Dundas!
Thank you all. It is truly an honor to be in front of people who give a darn about this country and are willing to show it by coming out to events like these. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Lee Dundas, and my mama gave me extra letters. That's L-E-I-G-H-D-U-N-D-A-S. You can find me on Facebook under Lee Dundas. There's an Australian chef who's a guy. That's not me. And then there's another Lee Dundas, that's me. But yeah, I'm hard to find. I'm only out of jail about once every 60 days. So your best bet is to find me at leedundas.com and sign up there. I'm not gonna sell you anything, but that's where you can find me. And I wanna talk to you guys a little bit today, if you're okay with this, about our government. Yeah, I think they deserve a little limelight. About our government. And I want to talk to the folks, none of the people in here really, but the folks out there who think our government has our back and has been doing us a solid with their coronavirus pandemic response this last year. I am here to tell you something, listen loud and listen clear. They are not doing us a solid. What they are doing is allowing, if not spearheading, a totalitarian, communist meets fascist takeover, and they're doing it from our White House in Washington, D.C., and that is absolutely impermissible, and we are going to change that. But one of the ways we're going to change it, because you cannot defeat what you don't recognize. You cannot handle something you don't know you need to confront. So one of the things we're going to do today is look at the totalitarian takeover handbook, because there is a five-step Betty Crocker recipe that every bad dictator that every guy who spearheaded a genocide or another type of human rights atrocity used to do what he did. And we are going to learn it. And your job is to know it like the back of your own hand, so you know exactly what is going on, and to go back to your homes, in your cities, in your counties, in your states, and make darn sure everybody else recognizes these five steps as well. And then we're going to talk about a little bit of our government's inglorious debacle past to firmly disabuse anybody out there, because I don't think there's anybody in here, but anybody out there who thinks or is clinging to the notion that our government would never knowingly hurt an American citizen or try to program us. And then we're gonna fast forward to the end, because that's where we win. And I don't know about you, but I'm darn tired of living in the purgatory in between the beginning and the end of the story. So back to the totalitarian takeover. There's five steps, as I mentioned before. And the first step is they whip society into an absolute frenzy over absolutely nothing. They typically pin it to a disease-based hook on which to hang their hat, because that more effectively triggers our lizard brain. That throws us into a state of fight or flight. That makes us shoot adrenaline. And once you are in that panicked, frenzied state, you take off your critical thinking cap and you become very, very susceptible to what is known as signal input, which is brainwashing data. Because you're busy running from the thing that you think is chasing you, and you're not critically reasoning in the interim. While they are doing this, they engage in some depersonalization techniques, right? They engage in depersonalization techniques because you can't just take a German who is best friends with a Jew in 1930 Germany and say, tomorrow you're going to kill your neighbor. There's a ramp-up process to that. And it starts by making you hate your neighbor and think that they are less than human. So in Nazi Germany, they referred to the Jews as rats, as subhuman. And in Rwanda, in that genocide, they referred to the persecuted class as cockroaches. And so it goes until in the final analysis, when you are asked to commit the ultimate atrocity and burn your neighbor in an oven or shoot them down in the street, you can do it, because you're just hunting big game at that point, right? It always starts with a false flag event. What is a false flag event? A false flag event is something that looks like X but was designed to allow Y to occur, and Y is very definitely not X. So in Hitler's Germany, it was the burning of the Reichstag building. It was a government building. A fire happened. A lot of people think that Hitler set it himself, but regardless of who actually set the fire, the Nazis ran around the country saying, the commies set the fire. The communists are after us. The communists are hunting us. And we need to protect ourselves. We need to change our laws to protect ourselves from this communist threat. And so they did. They changed, Hitler changed 400 laws in 6 years, not to permit them to remain safe from the communist threat. That was the cover story. But to enable Hitler to burn human beings in ovens, that was his ultimate agenda. So don't ever forget about depersonalization or the false flag event. What is our false flag event? We have a coronavirus epidemic, allegedly. I'm not a virus denier. Yeah, there's a virus. 99.9% survivable. Why are we using that as an excuse to gut our Constitution and eviscerate every last piece of civil liberties protection we ever had? We need to stand up against this. The second piece of it, step two in the totalitarian takeover, in route to genocide, is they blame a group as being responsible. The Jews carry disease, don't you know? We need to segregate them and put them in their own camps so they're not giving us typhoid and typhus and whatever else. Of course, the Jews and Germans had lived happily together for years and decades prior to this time. But nonetheless, nobody was thinking about that because they were all adrenalized. We know who the persecuted, responsible group is in 2021, do we not? It's the unvaxxed, unmasked. We're going to get all of us off the main roads of society. The third step is they use media to disenfranchise the class they are hunting and persecuting, to brainwash the masses to go along with the plan to persecute your neighbor. And similarly, they use brainwashing in the media to convince the hunted class that they truly are subhuman and they should not bother fighting back at all. Because let me tell you guys, it is much easier to win a war when you have convinced the other side don't even bother to fight before we get there with our tanks, right? So that is how they do it. That is how they do it. Do you think for a single solitary second that the atrocities of World War II could have happened if CNN was up in the middle of Auschwitz with one of these and one of those? Heck no. Let it be a lesson to you. Do not ever let go of this, especially now. Fourth step of the totalitarian takeover is they mark you, the hunted class. They need to know who you are so they know where you are so they can take all of you and put you in a little camp for your safety and for our safety. And they give you passports and they restrict your travel and you can't go into certain places unless you show your papers, please. And they give you armbands that you wear and they give you stars to put in your window and they don't allow you to shop at certain stores. And some of you can only shop here and some of you can only shop there. That's step four. Step five is a step you don't recover from. It is the final step. It is where you burn your neighbor in an oven, or you mass rape an entire population, or you medically experiment them on them. Do not ever get to step five, because there is no coming back from step five. But I have a question for you. I want you to honestly cull through your memory banks and let me know in the last 18 months exactly how many steps we have gone through. In just 18 months. We're at four, other countries are already at five. That's right. So I wanna focus on step three a little bit. Step three, the media. Everybody thinks Hitler won the wars that he did, the battles he did before he finally lost the ultimate one because of his war machine. Oh, no, 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 no. He won what he won because of his PR machine. The very first thing he did is he got rid of the free press and he got rid of the cops. That man didn't want cops to stand up against him or a military. Make no mistake, that man wanted an SS and a Gestapo that said Heil Hitler and goose stepped on command, and he did not want CNN up in his business. It was called Voices of America at the time. So he got rid of the journalists and he got rid of the cops. And then he installed Joseph Goebbels as his PR minister. There was a minister for propaganda. And the first thing they did is they closed non-essential businesses. That was the thing they divined was going to be the most successful thing they could do at the outset to get them where they were going to go on the final step. And then they closed the churches, and then they closed the schools, got rid of the cops, pitted everybody against each other, started race wars. Sound familiar? They passed an editor's law that prohibited the publication of any news, anything in print, on the radio, unless it was lockstep in keeping with the socialist propaganda of the time. You had to be bowing down to the socialist agenda if you wanted to get anything in print. Their PR machine had seven different departments: administration and legal, mass rallies, public health, youth and race, radio, national and foreign press, film censorship, art, music, and theater, and protection against counter-propaganda, i.e. the truth, both foreign and domestic. Make no mistake, guys, this was no teeny tiny PR machine. This was a PR machine that would get this guy to be willing to kill that guy at the end of the war, even though they had been best friends a few years earlier. That was the kind of PR machine this guy was working. A committee was established to censor books and then art and then music, and then the cabaret. You had to prove your Aryan heritage going back to the 1800s if you wanted to publish anything. Free radios were given out on Joseph Goebbels' birthday, not because they were being generous or nice or because the government had their back and was doing them a solid, but because they wanted the means to brainwash every single person. And then they put loudspeakers in every single school, in every single factory, in every single town square, because they wanted to drown the Germans in the propaganda that they were putting forth. And they were successful. At the end of the war, Hitler's minister for war stated, and I quote, "The regime made the complete use of all technical means for domination of its own country. Through technical devices like radio and loudspeaker, 80 million people, 80 million people were deprived of independent thought. They put you to death if you spoke the truth. They put you to death if you listened to the truth. And in that manner, by the end of the war, they could take a microphone like this on open airwaves and talk brazenly and overtly about their fact and their plan to execute the Jews and the manner in which they were going to do it and get zero pushback. So now I want to talk to you. Whew. We will repeat the sins of past if we don't know our history. Now I want to talk to you about what we've been doing since 1940 Germany in our country. In the beginning of the Cold War, with reference to censorship, the US government decided it wanted to influence mass public opinion through mass media. And so they started this little project. You guys may have heard of it, Operation Mockingbird, Project Mockingbird. And the CIA, the US Central Intelligence Agency, was tasked with going out and recruiting members of the press, news anchors, journalists, you name it, into their ranks, and simultaneously and conversely, the CIA took their operatives and put them into these news outlets. This is not a conspiracy theory. After about 20 years of this, Congress got wind of this nefarious little program, along with some other nefarious programs, and they convened evidentiary hearings known as the Church Committee in the late 1970s. And that committee found that the CIA indeed cultivated relationships, including the press, and without identifying any individuals by name, the Church Committee stated it found 50 journalists who had official but secret relationships with the CIA. Rolling Stone came out a month later and said, "Nice try, guys." It was closer to 400. 400, including Arthur Hayes, Stuart Alsop, and Time Magazine, which were anybody who was everybody back in those days. Declassified documents confirmed this program existed, although they never confirmed the name. And in that manner, they never had to confirm that they had done away with the program by that name. The closest we get is George Bush the First, during his time at the CIA, saying, "Hey, we're not gonna pay, the CIA is not gonna pay journalists anymore. We're gonna stop doing that little thing." But he went on to say that the CIA welcomed the voluntary unpaid cooperation of journalists. And thus many relationships were permitted to remain intact. So a lot of people, including yours truly, think that maybe Operation Mockingbird was never actually officially disbanded at all. Maybe our narratives through the media are being a little bit pulled by puppet strings. But I gotta tell you, it doesn't matter what I think. No one person is gonna win the war we're in today. Not me, not any generals, not any presidents, not any politicians, not any doctors, not any great lawyers. This war is gonna be won by you. You need to know the history, you need to own the data, so we're gonna do a little show and tell, kindergarten style, and we're gonna watch a 1-minute clip, and then you're gonna let me know your thoughts. Can you guys roll the video, Devin?
I am Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about trying to be a responsible, one-sided news stories
plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Think the media is being controlled? Think it's a little dangerous to the democracy? Oh, the irony, right? So, just to be clear, the Holocaust was never the result of Hitler. We're all tempted to demonize that man, and he's no angel, don't get me wrong. The Holocaust was the result of mass media, censorship, and people who were overly obedient. And I want to talk to you for a second about obedience. In 1961, a university professor at Yale decided he was going to figure out if the Holocaust was the result of a one-off unicorn episode in our history and it was never going to recur again, or if maybe, just maybe, the Holocaust was the result of something inside of us that made us predisposed to being overly obedient to authority. And so he created a study where he invited everybody out there, doctors, lawyers, homemakers, retired folk, janitors, he invited them in to take part in a memory experiment. And once these guys came in, they were paired up. And you and I would be paired up as twins, and we were asked to memorize arbitrary pairs of words. So when I said purple, my buddy was supposed to say zebra. And then we were separated. And we were put into separate rooms where we could not see each other, but we could hear each other through an intercom. And I would say zebra, and he was supposed to say purple or whatever the right answer was. And when he said Kalamazoo, I was supposed to negatively reinforce his wrong answer by flipping a switch that gave him a dose of electricity because he had been wired with electrodes. And I was to shock my neighbor to make him perform better and not get any more wrong answers. And my switchboard went from about a 9-volt switch, not fatal, we've all licked a 9-volt battery, right? Maybe I'm the only one, okay? You kind of go, that tastes bad, I shouldn't do that again when you're 8 years old. 9 volts all the way up to 450 volts. And for those of you who suck at math and science like I do, 450 volts is a fatal dose of electricity. That is an electric chair dose of electricity. Unbeknownst to me, nobody was actually being shocked in the other room. I was hearing pre-recorded wrong and right answers from my neighbor, including sounds of pain as I flipped higher and higher switches. So in the beginning, it was, that hurt. And then as I got into the higher voltages, it was abject screaming, hey man, you gotta stop it, you gotta stop it. I had a heart attack last year, and my heart's already skipping beats, you keep doing this, you're gonna kill me. Which would create no small amount of dissonance and upset cognitively at my end. And the person in my shoes would turn to the guy in a position of authority in charge of the memory experiment and say, hey man, I'm not okay continuing to shock my neighbor in there, I think I'm gonna kill him if I keep this up. And for his part, the position of authority man, the doctor in the white lab coat with Dr. So-and-so on his lapel, was not supposed to hold a gun to my head and say, you gotta finish the experiment. He didn't lock the door and say I couldn't leave. He was just supposed to say a couple words. Go ahead and continue. Please continue. And the question was, what percent of Americans would nuke their neighbor to death over a wrong answer on a memory quiz because somebody in a position of authority said they had to? And when Stanley Milgram shopped this idea around the college to all of his fellow professors, they told him in a nutshell, dude, you're high. Nobody's going to kill their neighbor because you told them they had to. And when he actually ran the study, what he realized is 2 out of 3 normal, law-abiding, Christian, God-fearing men and women who didn't have so much as a speeding ticket would kill their neighbor because somebody said they had to. We are hardwired to be obedient. Being obedient in a free America, in a first world country, is a sign, it's like a badge that says, I grew up in a free constitutional republic, and I can rely on my 3 branches of government to have my back and do right by me. Make no mistake, when you are living in a communist country, when you are living in a totalitarian takeover, when you are living in the middle of hell, when you are obedient to bad authority, you die. You die. I'm going to say it one more time, and you're going to say it back. When you are obedient, you what? Die. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Teach your children well. So...